Okay, for the past couple weeks, we've been talking about testimonies to Christ. And these testimonies are really a monument to the depravity of man. The first testimony that we looked at, that being Christ's testimony to himself, of course, if these folks realized who he was, that would have been sufficient and complete in and of itself, but they don't. Just as when the Lord said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they had all sorts of things. But it was only the Father that could teach that to Peter. And it's only the Father that can teach these things to man. And so we see man's depravity as the Lord here sets forth these testimonies to himself. John 5 and verse 31, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony of man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a bright and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you unto the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. If ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And of course, as the Lord set forth here the testimonies to himself before his enemies here, he spoke first of the testimony, his own testimony. And we saw last week that the Lord claimed deity. He claimed to be God, and those that heard him understood that. He set forth himself as the righteous and the rightful judge, and he set forth himself as the only Savior. Next, the Lord turns to yet another testimony, and that of John the Baptist. And just a minute here. And that being the testimony of John the Baptist in verse 33, the Lord said in chapter 5 there, "You sent him to John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Before I get into what the Lord says here specifically, I just think of that monument of a man, John the Baptist. He was a mere man, but he was far from an ordinary man. In some ways, I think, and I guess you could argue different ways, that apart from the Lord himself, he is certainly one of the most significant characters in the history of the world. And we don't often stop and recognize him in that sense. And just a few things, and I could go back and, you know, we could spend years talking about John. You could write a book about John. And I don't intend to do that this morning, but there's so much in his character and his person and his ministry that we can learn about. You know, He was a unique man. He was born to parents who had been childless, past the age when birth was normally possible. Now, we've seen other incidents of that in Scripture, and of course the most miraculous birth, that of our Lord. But in that sense, John's birth was miraculous. He was promised to his parents when they were aged and when they had no prospect of having children. An angel announced his birth. You know, the birth of our Lord was announced by the angels as well. And an angel declared his name. So you will call him John, even as the angels, you know, angel said of our Lord, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, beyond that, John, as we look at the Scriptures, recognized his Lord from his mother's womb. You know, what a unique circumstance. Something we don't see specifically recorded anywhere else, but the babe leapt for joy as Mary, his mother, came to visit the mother of John. And I think, again, it's clear that John was regenerated in the womb, that John was already a born-again child of God in the womb. God does those things. We don't understand all those things. I believe that all of God's true elect people, even as I sang today, come to believe and to embrace the gospel of their salvation and to embrace their Savior. But John did this in a very unique sense. Not everyone, and most aren't regenerated like John. And we have no evidence of it until they become of age. You know, some would use the excuse, the pedobaptists say, well, you know, we baptize them because babies can have faith. Oh, maybe they can, but they can't profess that faith. They can't be set forth and baptism requires that one's born again and makes a profession of that faith. Not all are saved like Saul of Tarsus. That was, you know, knocked flat of his face on the road to Damascus. But all who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all who are saved by the eternal election of God. And He will determine and ensure that all that are His will be brought to Him. And they'll be brought to Him in their lifetime to embrace the gospel of their salvation. But it tells us something else as we look about the world today. You know, the babe leapt for joy. The babe recognized whose presence he was in. John was alive in the womb. You know, John was a person in the womb. Not only a person, but a born-again, I believe, child of God in the womb. Very unique individual. He was the one who was specifically sent by God. We're told this in John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And again, that name was given to him by heaven. That name was not one that his parents would normally have chosen. In fact, everybody thought that his father would name him for himself. And of course, his father had lost his voice because he had questioned the angel and hadn't been able to speak until John was born. They said, "Oh, we're going to call him Zacharias, like, you know, your name." And he said, "Oh, his name's John." There was a man sent from God whose name is John. He was sent to preach the gospel and to baptize. In fact, if you'll go back and look at the gospel record, and you'll see the gospel. Some folks say, "Well, John preached a different message than Christ." No, John preached exactly the same message that Christ preached. And John's message and Christ's message is the same message that Baptist preachers preach today. And John was indeed that first Baptist preacher. He was sent of God. And he was sent to preach the gospel and to baptize. Back in John 1, we read again, John 1 and verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and then abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John says, I was sent to baptize with water. And again, the questions that come up amongst the religionists and so forth about the origins of baptism and whether it, you know, it somehow evolved from Jewish ceremonial washings or the ceremonial washings that accompanied one who became a convert to Judaism and all these other. No, baptism originated in heaven, and John was sent to baptize with water. John was sent to preach the gospel and to baptize those who received that gospel. John was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. In fact, it was promised that such a one would come in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah said there was one that was going to come, was going to be the forerunner, that was going to prepare the way for the Lord. And this one was John. We read in Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. John was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. John was sent as the forerunner. John was a fairly unique individual in the history of mankind. Sent to prepare the way for the Lord. Luke goes beyond this and tells us a little more that was involved in preparing the way for the Lord. And Luke 1 and verse 17 says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John's ministry was not only to prepare the way for the Lord, but John's ministry was to prepare a people for the Lord. And John was sent to preach the gospel and to baptize. And in preaching the gospel and in baptizing those people who received that gospel, he prepared a people for the Lord. John baptized all of the disciples who were subsequently called by Jesus Christ to form his church. And you see, a church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. Jesus Christ was the first pastor. He called out that church of baptized believers. That's the only thing that can be a church. And there had to be a nucleus. There had to be something from which that church was to be formed. He gave us the example that churches are only formed from baptized believers. And John prepared a people. And from that people, the Lord called out those that would form his first church, baptized disciples. John was on more than one occasion highly praised of the Lord. I won't look at all of them, and some of these things we'll touch on again when I get back to the Lord's testimony over here as well. But the Lord praised John on numerous occasions. In Matthew 11, in verse 11, the Lord said this, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than thee." I believe that they're greater than he. I believe that the Lord there is speaking of himself. And the least there is not so much in substance, but in time. He who was later in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Lord, of course, is the one for whom he's preparing the way. The Lord is the one for whom he's the precursor. But the Lord says, of those born among women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. So, you know, maybe, you know, we have something to stand on when we say that, you know, second to the Lord only, there's probably never been a more significant character in the history of mankind. But he was a man. You know, John was not sent to be our Savior, and he couldn't have been our Savior. John was an astonishing man, a unique man, but he was a man. He was given to human frailties, you know, like you and I, given to human doubts. When John was locked in prison, he seems to express a certain doubt there on one occasion. And I don't know, I've never been in prison except to visit. And so I can imagine it would kind of affect your head, kind of affect your outlook on things. But we read over in Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John's been proclaiming the way. John's been speaking of Christ. John's been preaching the gospel. And yet as he's sitting there languishing in prison, he begins to wonder, you know, is he the one? Or maybe am I supposed to be looking for another? And he said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." And so John was given to the kind of frailties and doubts that we might have, but the Lord certainly sustained him. Interesting as well, as we look at this, the testimony of John and this unique character, he was the unbaptized baptizer because he had been sent directly with a commission from heaven. No one else could originate baptism on their own. But he says, "He who sent me to baptize with water." And John, of course, even baptized the Lord as an example to those that would follow him. In John 3, verse 26. John 3, verse 26. "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." And John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." See, John was not a member of the Lord's church. John, though he was the initiator of baptism with a commission from heaven, had never received baptism. Remember when he baptized the Lord, he said, "I have need to be baptized of thee." And the Lord said, let these things be so, that all the righteousness might be fulfilled. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye bear witness of me that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Christ had the bride. And even in these words we say, I remember after being having my mind muddled with evangelical doctrines and the Scofield Bible all those years, and then just sitting there and reading the plain scriptures. You know, there's like, well, the church was formed, you know, after Christ died and ascended to heaven and on the day of Pentecost. No! John here testifies that he that hath the bride, and literally the Greek verb there is he that's having the bride. He that hath the bride, he that has the bride now and will continue to have the bride. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Christ had his bride already with him. He had called them out from those that John had prepared. The church was already in existence. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, that was John. Kind of like, I guess, we would sort of call the best man today. But more than that. But the friend of the bridegroom. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Again, John says, it's already fulfilled. The bridegroom has the bride. You know, and the Lord was pleased to use him in preparing this people and the forming of that bride. The Lord's church from that body of baptized believers. He goes on and says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. See, John's disciples were a little bit upset at first when they said, here's Jesus baptizing and stuff. And it's like, well, he's pushing you out of the way, John. John's saying, praise the Lord. You know, that's what I'm here for. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John testified to who he was. He came from heaven. He was God. And John's mission was to prepare that people from which the Lord would call his church. What a unique ministry. I mean, there's no one else in history like John. He was the first Baptist preacher. But he wasn't a member of the church. He was a baptizer, but he wasn't baptized. Because he went with the direct authority of heaven. He went with the authority of God, who sent him to baptize. And we could carry that on, and that maybe that's a whole other sermon. But again, that authority that came from God and then was given to the Lord's church. You know, and again, it's the church that has the authority to baptize, not me. John preached the message. John spoke of Christ. But if they would not receive the message of that first Baptist preacher, neither would they receive the message of Christ, nor would they receive his person. In Matthew 21, we see again another instance concerning John and the Lord's testimony and John's testimony to the Lord, John's ministry, Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, speaking of the Lord, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, well, what authority dost thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? They were addressing the Lord who had just cleansed the temple. You see, it was his father's house, you know. But they were, who's this character that's coming in here and cleansing the temple and overturning tables and chasing folks out. By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. I mean, will they recognize God-given authority? Did they even really care what authority he has? And the Lord says, the baptism of John, whence was it? Well, Scripture's already told us. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John says, he who sent me to baptize with water. The Lord says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And you know what, folks? Half of the religious world can't or won't answer this question today. The baptism of John, which was it, from heaven or of men? And they reason among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? Well, that's a stick. But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. That was like my one cemetery professor. I remember in particular my Old Testament professor teaching us all these heresies and denials of Scripture and everything else. And I was like, well, you can't go into the church, a church, and just start preaching this stuff, see? Because all the people hold John to be a prophet. You know? Your head's going to be online. You won't be getting a nice cushy job. So you just can't go into, so they, you know, like the Pharisees. And if we say of men, or if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. See, if they had received John's message, they wouldn't have questioned the Lord. But they did not receive John's message, and they certainly would not receive the Lord. To my way of thinking, and again, I guess you could argue different ways, John was the first Christian martyr. I know that Stephen was evidently the first member of the Lord's church to have faced martyrdom. But John was in the Christian era. In fact, the Scriptures tell us the prophets were up and to John, were until John. You know, John's gospel message was the same message as Christ and the apostles. Now, that gospel era, if you will, began with John. And John was the first Christian martyr. Remember, even Herod was kind of afraid about what to do with that thing. It was almost, you know, tricked into taking off John's head by, you know, the erotic dances of his, how would you say that, stepdaughter, I guess just stepdaughter-in-law, whatever, you know, the one that, and again, you get in that whole episode, John had stood up to Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was willing to stand up and say those things that people didn't like. Herod didn't like. Herod would have liked to kill John, but he was somewhat afraid to do so, and then he was kind of pushed in the corner. Well, like I said, I have an old sermon on John, but sometime I think I'd like to do an in-depth study of his life and ministry, because not just him as a man or a mere man, because his ministry was to magnify our Lord. And that's the ministry of all Baptists and of all Baptist preachers is proclaim and to magnify their Lord. Well, this is the second testimony that the Lord sets forth here to himself before his enemies there, back again in John 5 and verse 33. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony of man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He, and here the Lord gives again another testimony to John, another testimony to his ministry and his life. He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You know, it was okay for a while until that light started getting a little bit too bright and shining on things they didn't like it to. And John testified concerning the Lord. And we'll look at those specific things, I guess, next week that John testified concerning Christ that we haven't already touched on. And get in a little more detail into them. And we'll move along and finish this up next week or the week after. I don't know. Depends on how many rabbits. I just started looking at John. I started getting into this section and said, man, I started thinking about John. And I said, you know, he was something that we don't often stop and reflect upon who this person was. And I'm thankful that the Lord was pleased to use him. And I'm not ashamed to be called a Baptist. And the Lord wasn't ashamed to be baptized by a Baptist preacher either. Let's take our hymnals and we'll turn to page number 218. God be with you. Number 218. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Beneath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. God be with you till we meet again. We meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've deigned to use your people. Lord, we thank you for the way that you used John. Lord, for the ministry he had, for the people he prepared. And Lord, we know it wasn't of him, but of you. We know, Lord, it was all by your grace and all by your sustenance, but Father, we pray that we might be the kind of people you would have us to be as well. We might proclaim our Savior as John did, that we might stand for the truth as John did, that we might be willing to stand against the tide of the day and the powers that be. Father, we thank you most for that one that John proclaimed, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Lord, we would be lost and undone but for our Savior's atoning death for his people. And Lord, we thank you for all those testimonies that there are to our Savior. And yet, Father, we realize that we would not receive even one of them apart from the work of the Spirit, apart from the election of God, apart from the quickening of our Savior. And Lord, may all the glory go on today. Lord, I pray your hand upon our sister churches, Lord, upon our brothers in the ministry, upon our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Father, we thank you for all that you deign to pour out upon us, even as Brother Pruffel mentioned in his prayers, or his prayer. And Lord, as we realize we're not worthy of even one of the little blessings, Father, thank you for family, for friends, Lord, for this fellowship. Lord, I pray your hand upon those that need your healing, that you might comfort hearts. Lord, that you might help each of us to have that eternal perspective. That you might help each of your children to realize that you're working all together for their good, even when we can't comprehend it all in our little minds. Again, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for our Savior. And we pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen.